Join me in Judges, actually chapter 8, and we will move into chapter 9. Judges chapter 8, verse 29, reading through 9:24. The name Jerubbaal that we will read several times here is referenced to being Gideon. You will hear that in the scriptures, but we start out here. Verse 29 of chapter 8. Jerubbaal, son of Joash, went back home to live. He had 70 sons of his own, for he had many wives. His concubine, who lived in Shechem, also bore him a son, whom he named Abimelech. Gideon, son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. No sooner had Gideon died than the Israelites again prostituted themselves to the Baals. They set up Baal-berith as their god and did not remember the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. They also failed to show kindness to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, for all the good things he had done for them. Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, went to his mother's brothers in Shechem and said to them and all his mother's clan, "Ask all the citizens of Shechem, which is better for you, to have all 70 of Jerubbaal's sons rule over you, or just one man? Remember, I am your flesh and blood." When the brothers repeated all this to the citizens of Shechem, they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." They gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-berith, and Abimelech used it to hire reckless adventurers who became his followers. He went to his father's home in Ophrah, and on one stone murdered his 70 brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, escaped by hiding. Then all the citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo gathered beside the great tree at the pillar in Shechem to crown Abimelech king. When Jotham was told about this, he climbed up on the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted to them, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, so that God may listen to you." One day, the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves. They said to the olive tree, "Be our king." But the olive tree answered, "Should I give up my oil by which both gods and men are honored to hold sway over the trees?" Next, the tree said to the fig tree, "Come and be our king." But the fig tree replied, "Should I give up my fruit so good and sweet to hold sway over the trees?" Then the tree said to the vine, "Come and be our king." But the vine answered, "Should I give up my wine, which cheers both gods and men, to hold sway over the trees?" Finally, all the trees said to the thorn bush, "Come and be our king." The thorn bush said to the trees, "If you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, then let fire come out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now, if you had acted honorably and in good faith when you made Abimelech king, and if you have been fair to Jerubbaal and his family, and if you have treated him as he deserves, and to think that my father fought for you, risked his life to rescue you from the hand of Midian, but today you have revolted against my father's family, murdered his 70 sons on a single stone, and made Abimelech, the son of his slave girl, king over the citizens of Shechem because he is your brother. If then you have acted honorably and in good faith today toward Jerubbaal and his family, may Abimelech be your joy, and may you be his too. But if you have not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come out from you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo, and consume Abimelech." Then Jotham fled, escaping to Beer, and he lived there because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech. After Abimelech had governed Israel 3 years, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the citizens of Shechem, who acted treacherously against Abimelech. God did this in order that the crime against Jerubbaal's 70 sons, the shedding of their blood, might be avenged on their brother Abimelech and on the citizens of Shechem who had helped him murder his brothers. We will stop our reading there. In the days and months that followed the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center and on the Pentagon, church attendance grew. Questions of religion and faith and God were on the minds of many in those months that followed. It was a time of renewed religious interest. Please note that I said church attendance grew, not church membership. Today, 6 years after those horrible events, church membership and attendance nationally is actually lower than it was before 9/11. We are a fickle people. We want to be rescued from the immediate danger, but we are slow to change our lives so that future dangers might be avoided. In the days after 9/11, we resembled the Israelites who cried out for rescue. And sure enough, the ministers came. Televised church services were on the air, and there was a feeling of recommitment. But where are we now? We have forgotten. We are back to our old ways. Nothing has changed. Well, that's not entirely true, because something has changed. Our ever-descending level of immorality. Yes, after the days of 9/11, the U.S. did cry out for help, and God did respond. But the same question is asked of us as we ask of the Israelites. Did we truly repent? It is said of the mighty nation of ancient Rome that they never really suffered a major military defeat until very late in their history. For hundreds of years, they were, for the most part, invincible in their military might. They were an intelligent people, far advanced when compared to their neighbors of that time. They ruled major portions of the Middle East, Western Asia, Europe, Northern Africa. Their grip reached the mighty hills of Scotland and Ireland. They did as they pleased for many years. So how did they eventually fall? What brought them down? They were destroyed from within. They morally decayed. Murder, incest, homosexuality, treason, lying, stealing, these were commonplace in the mighty nation of Rome. It is not surprising to read the pages of history of one killing another so that he could take the position of authority. It's not surprising at all reading the pages of history to read of a Caesar, Nero, for example, of killing his own family so that they would not be a threat to his throne. Over time, Rome continued to descend morally. Here in the pages of Scripture, we read of the same thing. Once again, the people of Israel continue to sin before Almighty God. They have forgotten the works of God. They did not remember the many times God showed his patience to Gideon. When Gideon would request for proof, they'd forgotten all of that. They've even gone so far as to forget the worship that God commands, and they set up gods in Baal-berith and worship that. Abimelech, the son of Gideon and his concubine, his mistress, emerge from this culture. He approaches his mother's brothers and the citizens of Shechem, and he asks a question. What had you rather have? The 70 brothers rule over you, or just me? Remember, I am your flesh and blood. As he asks this question, please remember or consider this. Here is the son of a slave girl, a concubine of Gideon, asking to be made king instead of the 70 more recognized sons of Gideon. There has got to be jealousy. There has got to be hatred between these brothers. There has got to be animosity between the people of Shechem and this concubine's friends and family and the people of Ophrah. The people of Shechem give Abimelech what he asked. They gave him money, and he hired, I think it's rather neat the way they're called, reckless adventurers. Read vigilantes is what that means. So he hired these followers, and he killed the opposition. Now, again, stop here and consider this. What do we see happening? The people of Shechem have just sided with a murderer, and they actually pay him to become king. He has just communicated to everyone around that if you disagree with me, I have no problem killing you. It's amazing that some think that a person will act differently once given authority. History is filled with men who were given authority and took control through ruthless means, but yet were expected to rule peacefully. Several of the Caesars of Rome, as I just mentioned, killed their brothers, their sons, their mothers, so that they could keep the throne. In more recent history, we can think of men like Adolf Hitler, Idi Amin, Nicolae Ceausescu, had no problem killing his people. Mao Zedong, Ferdinand Marcos, Slobodan Milosevic, and even more recent, Saddam Hussein. Look into the history of these men. All of these men were recognized in authority by the people and were actually supported in the beginning by the people. The Church of Germany supported Adolf Hitler. In the end, though, each of these turned into a ruthless killer. Because you see, the true character of a person will emerge over time. Who they are truly will come out. And many times the nature of a person is a product of the society in which they live. Abimelech was a sinner, but he was also a product of the culture of which he was raised. The people of Shechem saw no problem giving him authority. A parable offered by the young Jotham states this. Look again at this parable he's given. Verse 7. When Jotham was told about this, about Abimelech coming to power, he climbed on top of Mount Gerizim. Now, he didn't actually ascend to the top of a mountain and have this supernatural voice that would rain through the valley. They think it was more of a cliff and the opening of a cave that would echo and become an amphitheater of sorts. He climbed to the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted to them, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, so that God may listen to you. One day the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves, and they said to the olive tree, 'Be our king.' But the olive tree answered, 'Should I give up my oil by which both gods and men are honored to hold sway over the trees?' Next the tree said to the fig tree, 'Come and be our king.' But the fig tree replied, 'Should I give up my fruit, so good and sweet, to hold sway over trees?' Then the tree said to the vine, 'Come and be our king.'" Same story, didn't do it. 14. Finally, all the trees said to the thorn bush, "Come and be our king." The trees were looking for a leader. They asked the olive tree, but he was too enamored with his oil. Then they turned to the fig tree and the grapevine, and the story is similar. They as well were too consumed with themselves to be bothered with any menial tasks. This is the telltale sign of the people. that Jotham hit on. They are too consumed with themselves to look to the needs of others. It's a cultural thing. So the trees turn to the lowliest of candidates, a thorn bush. The thorn bush says to the trees, if you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. Think about that. Tall, majestic tree stooping to take refuge under a thorn bush. In parable fashion, this is telling you what the people of Shechem are willing to do to have a leader. But following this parable, we have the true accusation. Verse 16. Now, if you have acted honorably and in good faith when you made Abimelech king, and if you have acted fair and honorably to Jerubbaal and his family, and if you have treated them as he deserves, if, here is a condemnation of their actions, both in their choice of kings and in their actions toward the family of one who had given what we might expect everything. If you had acted honorably and in good faith, given the culture around Shechem, honor and integrity were personality traits not widely known by the people. So the consuming fire prophesied by the thorn bush will come. And the people of Shechem will get what is eventually the outcome of a depraved society. Ruin. Ruin. Now, this ruin did not come at the hands of the Midians. This ruin of Shechem did not come at the end of a Moabite sword. No, their ruin came from within. God sent an evil spirit to pervade the people, and Abimelech turned on the people. If you read the remainder of chapter 9, you see he killed most of them. And in the end, Abimelech was also killed. If you'll turn with me to verse 56, here is God's remedy for the deceitfulness of Abimelech and the people of Shechem. Verse 56, thus God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also made the men of Shechem pay for all their wickedness. The curse of Jotham, son of Jerubbaal, came upon them. They rotted from it within because of an evil spirit. Just like the nation of Rome, with all of its greatness, it could not withstand the internal decay. There are those who think that the United States will fall much the same way. We are a strong nation, but we are becoming more and more immoral. At present, there is not a military on this earth that could defeat the United States. But are other nations' military might truly the enemy we should fear? No. No. We are our own greatest enemy. I wrote an article some years ago for the ARP magazine, and it was entitled, I Have Seen the Enemy, and It's Me. The moral decay within the U.S. is on the rise. As a nation, just like Shechem, we tend to elect leaders who meet our sinful desires. Instead of leading us toward the straight and narrow, they give us what we want. Polls, surveys, and the opinions of the people are the plotters of political course. today. Whatever the people want, whatever I have to do to get elected, whatever I have to do to show favor to the peoples, what I'll give you, because if I do, you will elect me. The U.S. was once a strong, moral, powerful nation. Strong and powerful, yes. Moral, not any longer. We live in what we call a post-Christian society now. For our first 235 some odd years, we could be called a Christian nation. Not any longer. The Christian culture that once ruled is now a minority. And you should expect to be ostracized every year. Every year that goes by. The Christian culture should be seen moving farther and farther away from what would be called the norm of the United States. Why is this happening? Why is the Christian influence lessening in the United States? Because the church has stepped aside. The church has not taught the people well. So the people turn easily. Christian teaching in the home from parents has become, for the most part, non-existent. I know some of you still do that. Thank you. Today we think it's okay for our kids to miss church. I commend you, Julie and Derek, for bringing the kids back to church this morning because they wanted to be a part of church and they wanted to be a part of the process that takes place here a bit in the congregational meeting. Thank you. But the teaching in the home has become non-existent. We think it's okay for kids to miss church. We think it's okay for the kids to get involved in activities that take them away from church repeatedly. In reality, these are Satan's ploys to kill the children, and in turn, the church. How do we change this course? How do we change this course? It starts with every one of us seated, standing right here, right now. It starts in the home, and it starts in the church. Today, we begin in earnest our election process for elders and deacons. I encourage you to prayerfully consider who you set up as leader. Because who you set up as leader is who you will emulate. It's human dynamic. Whoever stands at the front of the room, whoever you give the authority to, is who you will in time represent and resemble. We are entering the final year before national elections in November 2008. Each of the candidates that you see nightly is a product of our society. And in reality, there is not one. Not one who promotes a solid Christian foundation. Not one. Where will we be morally in 5, 10, 25 years? I had a conversation with David Sides the other day, and it labors and burdens his heart where this country will be when his grandkids grow up. There will be an even greater separation between a Christian idea and the secular. We shouldn't be surprised that the U.S. continues the downward spiral morally until we do something. So how did we get here? How did the Israelites find themselves where they are right now with finding a leader like Abimelech? Turn back with me to chapter 6. Verse 9. This is God speaking through a prophet. Verse 9 of chapter 6, I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. How the United States find itself where it is? Go with me to chapter 2. Verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Here is a testament of saying the older generation didn't teach the younger generation. The older generation grew up and died away without telling the younger generation the things of God. The Israelites did not know God and they did not listen to his prophet. This can be said to an ever-increasing number of the people in the United States. We must do differently. We must listen to our Lord. And he communicates to us through the written word. And he communicates to us through our preachers. We must teach our children the ways of God. We must teach our children there is a difference from being accepted by the world and being a Christian. Today, the church is too preoccupied with being accepted by the world. When you should, we should, I should get it through my head, our heads. The world ain't going to like us. And we need to be okay with that. Inside your bulletin, on the right-hand side, if you have it there in front of you, are the guiding principles of New Sterling. Lynn has asked me several times to preach on these principles, and I just haven't gotten there. Keep praying, Lynn. But here, I want to point them out to you, because our vision statement says a great deal. And it is a step toward what we must do to resolve the direction of our nation. And you'll say, Pastor Tim, we're a little old church stuck out here in West Iredell County. How are we going to change the nation? The nation is nothing more than a conglomeration of communities. A community is nothing more than a gathering of homes. You change a home, you change a nation. You let a home slide, the nation will follow. Our vision is to live the full spectrum of life. What part of life falls outside that purview? Zip. And we will do that in obedience to the complete counsel of God. What part of God's word falls outside that purview? Zip. Every part of our life, every part of our day, every part of our existence should fall within the teaching of every part of God's word. Always. It never changes, nor should it. Worship the Lord at all times. Live every part of your life in accordance with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. Teach your kids the ways of Christ. Make the difficult choices. We cannot look to politics to save us. You cannot legislate morality. A law is nothing more than a stop. It changes nothing. We can't look to the courts to uphold laws that will make us a better people. If anything, today the courts are leading the way toward immorality. You, as you follow Jesus Christ, we are responsible. One day, each and every one of us will stand before God. Even as believers, stand before God and give an account. How did you teach your children? What did you teach your children about me? Husbands, how did you lead your wives? Paul told you that you had to sacrifice for them just like I did for the church. Did you do that? The people of Shechem elected a leader that represented them, and they followed him, and they followed him right to their demise because he was one of them. We, the church, have a leader who represents us. Not what we want to be, praise God, but what he wants us to be. And his name is Jesus. We can only look to him and to follow him and to follow him in his ways. We cannot try to make him fit ours. That's idolatry. Now, if we do not intentionally, as a people, if we do not intentionally make a stand and live according to this vision statement, which I pray is in accordance to the teachings of Scripture, if we do not make a stand and live our lives and make the tough choices and teach our children, then we will, just like the nation of Rome, fall. And not from a military defeat. We will die from within. Amen.